Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Chad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. Now, a lot to talk about this week, even though it seemed to be a bit of a slower trading week. It was a shortened trading week in Canada. Very happy Canada Day to everybody in Canada. And it's going to be a shortened trading week next week due to July 4th. So very happy July 4th coming up to all our American listeners. There are a couple big picture themes that carry over to a wide range of different markets, sectors, and even can play into some of the economic data. So we're going to focus a bit more big picture here, and we're kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, we have you on the show about every month, and one of the big developments from this last month has been interest rates. Look, we went through the Fed meeting this month, and we saw rates, in a way, kind of skyrocket for at least the very short period of time. Entering this month, the 10-year came in a little under 3%, moved the whole way up to almost 3.5%. within a matter of about 2 weeks, and then pulled back again 2-3%, and has maintained above this 3% level. Jesse, when it comes to interest rates and the general direction and trend, still seems like the trend is up. What are you seeing though?
Yeah, absolutely. The trend is up. I mean, it's a very clear pattern on the chart of, you know, higher highs and higher lows. But from the way I look at it, momentum is clearly waning. We see, you know, my friend Michael Oliver's, you know, probably the best at measuring this. And he uses indicators like price relative to the 50-day moving average, price relative to the 200-day, those types of things. When you use that and you isolate momentum, you can see rates are making actually lower highs in terms of momentum, even as prices are making higher highs. And so that's just a sign that momentum's waning. And I also use other technical indicators like DeMarc indicators, which are typically trend exhaustion signals, and we've seen several of those as well. You know, I think the 30-year Treasury yield recently created a weekly DeMarc sequential sell signal. So there are a number of these momentum and exhaustion signals kind of showing up at the same time you have fundamental signals like the copper to gold ratio rolling over pretty significantly. I mean, if you just look at that alone, it suggests the 30-year Treasury yield could fall back to test, you know, 2.5%, which would be a pretty big fall back in that yield. So you also have the cyclical to defensive ratio within the stock market has been relatively weak for months now. So these are all signs that are essentially pointing to the potential for recession, which would be bullish for the bond market and help, you know, rates come in a bit.
Well, Jesse, you mentioned there some of the weakness we saw in copper relative to gold, and we've also seen a really strong U.S. dollar. Off mic, you'd mentioned you thought that not just rates, but maybe the U.S. dollar may be topping out. Do you think that would give a lift to the commodity sector? Because for the last month or so, commodities have kind of gotten beat down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's been astounding, right, how strong commodities have generally been in the face of a rising dollar. So, yeah, I do think, you know, that headwind of the dollar, rising dollar, could turn into a tailwind. The dollar is essentially flat in interest rates, too. You know, so for the past, you know, month or 6 weeks, you know, they both kind of put in a peak in mid-May, sold off, rallied to a new high. That new high is kind of the one that I was watching carefully, because it does show some momentum divergences in both rates and the dollar. The thing with the dollar too is, you know, the strength in the dollar is largely the result of two things, I think. One, the Fed's hawkish turn over the past, you know, 12 months. You know, they've been clearly communicating, you know, that they were going to stop easing and start tightening monetary policy. But I think the markets have probably fully priced in what the Fed plans to do. And as the prospect of recession grows more clearer in people's minds, it's going to become clear that the Fed is not going to be able to get to, you know, I think Loretta Mester was talking about 3.5-4% sometime next year, and, you know, rolling off $3 trillion off the balance sheet, that's just not going to happen. So, you know, the dollar's priced in a lot of hawkish policy over the next several quarters, and to the extent that that's not able to come to fruition, it's going to be bearish for the dollar. The other side of the dollar has been kind of the safe haven trade. You know, it's benefited from a risk off trade for the last, you know, especially over the last 6 months. And so to the extent that risk off trade is essentially run its course, the first stage of the bear market in stocks has potentially run its course. And we could talk about this a little bit more, but I do think we can potentially see more of a bear market rally extend for another month or two. That would also, that renewed risk on trade could also be potentially bearish for the dollar.
Jesse, how are other central banks playing into this potential topping then for rates and the U.S. dollar? Because, look, other central banks are now catching up to the Fed in terms of tightening policy, and they're a bit earlier on because the Fed has been through a couple rate hikes now.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, we could talk about the ECB and the Bank of Japan, right, which have been dramatically, I mean, it's not hard to see why the dollar's been strong when you consider inflation in Europe is, you know, is at least as troublesome as it is in the United States. And, we still have, you know, negative interest rates in Europe. So, and the Bank of Japan is, you know, probably pursuing the most dovish policy in the history of central banking right now with, you know, yield curve control in the face of rising inflation. But when you see extremes like this, right, for the dollar to continue higher, the divergence in central bank policy would probably have to grow, meaning the Fed would have to get more hawkish and ECB and BOJ relatively more dovish, and I just don't see that happening. I think, you know, the potential for a rapid reversal in the yen is one of the things that could help the dollar reverse. The yen has been so weak, and rightfully so, you know, with the Bank of Japan printing so much money to keep yields where they are. That, you know, and there's so many speculators short the yen. I mean, I think it's, you know, one of the biggest net short positions we've ever seen. So there's a potential for a reversal there in the yen and a major short squeeze. I don't think it would take much of a shift, even the slightest shift in policy by the Bank of Japan to create that. I think there's also, you know, when you talk about the inflation dynamics, it's important to point out that the inflation dynamics in Europe are much more, are probably more supply side driven than those in the United States, which have a greater demand component than anywhere else. And so, you know, I don't think the ECB probably needs to do as much as the Fed probably needs to do to really rein in inflation. And so for a close in that divergence, or kind of a fixing that divergence between ECB and the Fed, it probably doesn't, you know, like the Bank of Japan, require that much of a hawkish shift on the part of the ECB at all, to any great degree, to really create a more significant shift in the currency dynamics.
Well, we'll see if the ECB, or more importantly, if the Bank of Japan switches off their policy, because the ECB, they are going to start hiking rates here, so that is a bit more hawkish for the ECB. Bank of Japan, though, continues to stick with yield curve control, a bunch of other aspects that they are working on. Jesse, we're wrapping up this segment, but we'll have you back on next segment, so everyone just stick around. We'll be right back with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
You're
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder. Now, Jesse, look, it looks like the Fed and other central banks are going to continue to hike rates here, even when we hear comments about market weakness and what the Fed has to say. Even now, what the Fed has to say about inflation, they're admitting that it's running hotter and running longer, and even some of their inflation expectations are generally higher when you look a year out. It seems to me like the Fed's going to keep on destroying some of this wealth, some wealth that was created way too easily. Should this be what we continue to expect, is a general meltdown in assets, whether they're financial or hard assets?
Well, I think it's a fantastic question, and it's really the dilemma that faces the Fed is facing right now. Jay Powell, this is something I've been writing about literally for 2 or 3 years now, at least, that eventually this monetary experiment is going to present the Fed with a decision between what I've posed as, you know, deciding between the devil and the deep blue sea. The devil is, we're going to create another crash in asset prices to try and rein in inflation. And I'm talking about a decline in stock market of 50 to 60%, you know, or greater. God forbid. And we've seen a 20% decline in the S&P 500, and it's created, you know, a massive, decline in wealth, household wealth relative to GDP already. So, get where they need to go to rein in inflation, they might have to see a decline of 100% relative to GDP or greater, which is, you know, you can just imagine how damaging that would be to the economy. But if they don't do this, right, they risk inflation expectations becoming unanchored, as they say. And, you know, that is an inflation environment where you have a pattern of higher highs and higher lows in the inflation numbers. That means inflation could come down in a cyclical sense, but maybe it comes down from 8% down to 4% and bottoms at 4% during a recession, but then just goes back up to 10 or 12 during the next cyclical upturn because they didn't do enough in this cycle to rein it in. And so, I personally believe the Fed is not going to be willing to create a decline in asset prices significant enough to rein in inflation. They're not going to be, because they understand the consequences right now, right? I mean, you can just talk through, you know, another 50, 60% decline in the stock market. Pension funds are already at, I mean, we've seen the greatest bull market, right, in history, 11 years and the greatest gain in that period. And pension funds are still underfunded. So the different crises that would materialize, in the wake of another major crash in stock prices, would create even bigger problems for the Fed. So I do think they're going to flip flop again at some point. There's going to be, and I think it's when we really start seeing, obvious signs of recession at the Fed. And markets are already, this is why I'm also, bearish on the dollars. I think markets are already beginning to drop the terminal, rate, the expected terminal rate of Fed funds, meaning we've already seen a peak in what markets are pricing into how far the Fed's going to be able to tighten. And so I think all of these things point to a very, very bullish case for precious metals over the next 12 to 18 months.
So in all fairness, the gold price has actually hung in quite well. And in this market environment, I think it's hard to expect anything, especially an individual commodity or asset, to fully buck the trend. However, oil, energy sector has done pretty well. But when we look at some of the other commodities here, Jesse, the other precious metal that we talk about a lot, silver, that is just hanging on to breakdown levels. We're recording this halfway through the day on Wednesday, and silver looks like it's just holding on in that 20 and change region. But then last week we saw copper break down, and we've actually seen a little bit more weakness in general energy prices, including oil. What's this environment that just continues to push commodities down now? It seems, to your point, kind of a cash crunch that investors are facing.
I think it's important to make a distinction between secular forces and cyclical forces, right? So I think there are secular forces of inflation that are going to help play catalyst for a long-term bull market in commodities, precious metals, that'll last a number of years. I think, you know, if you think about this last bull market that we saw in financial assets, falling interest rates and rising valuations for software stocks and all these kinds of things lasted a long time. And I think we're going to see something similar in commodities. But in the short run, we have these cyclical forces, right? So markets have spent the last 18 months or whatever pricing in inflation, rapidly recovering nominal growth and rapidly recovering price pressures. Now they're starting to wrestle with the potential for recession and the crimp to demand that's going to result in. And so that's what, you know, commodities and the bond market are both telling you right now, that interest rates aren't, you know, going up anymore. They've essentially flattened out for the past month. Commodities, aside from the oil price, are starting to roll over. And I think that's just absolutely a clear signs, in addition to all the other signs that we've seen for months and months now, that recession is coming. So I think in the short run, commodities potentially have some more downside in front of them as this, you know, recession trade continues, because I think we're going to get to the point where recession becomes obvious. The Fed is going to be forced to start talking about pausing. You know, they're probably going to raise 75 bips again next month, but then I think we could probably start hearing them talk about a pause at some time in the future. So over the next few months, we could see some commodity weakness through that process. But once we get through this kind of stagflationary recession, which I think nominal growth is not going to decline too much. I don't think it'll decline at all. I think it's only going to decline in real terms. And we start starting to look through a recession towards the next cyclical upturn, because markets are pricing, you know, 6 to 18 months in advance. Once they start looking through that to the next recovery, we're going to see commodities pick up again. And I don't think they're going to retrace too much of their gains over the next couple of months here, but I do think they're still vulnerable to some short-term weakness.
All right, Jesse, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but both of these segments, for everyone listening on the radio, really just snippets of a much longer conversation that we had with Jesse Felder, focused on precious metals, commodities, big picture economics, trying to make sense of these tough markets and these downward trending bear markets, but also what might make the Fed switch course and if the Fed truly will be forced into that decision. To listen to the full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting and listen to segments 1 and 2. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back, this time with Richard Postma.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
U.S. USA Radio News.
New York lawmakers passed a bill banning guns in places like Times Square, the subway system, and dozens of other public places in response to the U.S. Supreme Court's recent concealed carry decision. Moments after the bill passed, Governor Kathy Hochul signed it into law. The suspected driver of a tractor trailer packed with dozens of migrants who died this week was unaware that the trailer's air conditioning had failed, according to court documents. The 45-year-old driver appeared in federal court in San Antonio, being charged with one count of alien smuggling resulted in death. He, along with three other men, have been charged in connection with the incident. If convicted, all men face up to life in prison or the death penalty. This is USA Radio News. A vegan mother is facing life in prison for murdering her 18-year-old child who starved to death on a strict raw fruit and vegetable diet. A Florida jury has convicted a 39-year-old woman of first-degree murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter, and two counts of child neglect in the death of her son. The mother faces sentencing later this month. A bond has been set for an accused cop killer.
Bond is set at $10 million for the man accused of shooting multiple police officers and killing at least two in southeast Kentucky. Lance Storrs is in custody following the shootings at a home in Allen Thursday night. His lawyers entered a plea of not guilty on his behalf at a hearing Friday. Storrs' next court date is later this month. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first few segments with Jesse Felder. Jesse does a great job of outlining more of the macro aspects of these markets and really trying to predict what's going to happen, especially with central bank policy. We're going to shift focus just a little bit more to the actual charts as we are now chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Doc, we chat with you at the end of every month, and at the end of last month, you said, look out, June's not looking that great, especially for the precious metals investors. And when we say precious metals investors, we are talking about more of the stocks, the underlying gold and silver stocks. So, Doc, as we're ending, or as we ended June, boy, oh boy, we had breakdowns at probably the worst time to have breakdowns at the very end of the month and the quarter. Starting off with GDX, GDXJ, both have broken below their 52-week support levels that came in more at the tail end of summer, early fall last year. And we're at multi-year lows now. I am not a technician. However, you've taught me a lot about reading charts. And quite simply, you look at breakdowns below key support levels, moving averages, rolling over, and low volume. To me, it does not look good in any sense. Doc, what's your outlook for the gold stocks? Focus more on GDX and GDXJ first, please.
Well, Corey, you said early, I said, look out for June. Well, I'm going to tell you, look out for July. I think July is going to be really problematic. And what's not good here is that if you look at GDX, it's going to end the month at a low we haven't seen except going back to 2020. So it's closing below all of those intra week lows that were at the end of last year and in January, and that is a very unhealthy picture. And both of them are doing that, and gold looks really weak here. And I've been saying right along that you don't get a move like we've seen in gold for this long on the monthly chart without it eventually where pricing doesn't touch the lower Bollinger band. And I think we're headed toward the lower Bollinger band on the monthly chart, which is around 1700. And I think the stocks have been telling you that. And now GDX, GDXJ, and gold are starting to break down, and so is silver.
Yeah, Doc, and when looking at GDXJ, there was a lot of support around that 37, 38 range because it had bounced off at about three or four times on the daily and the weekly charts. And just even if you pan back, you didn't want to see something below 35. It had even gotten down there just a couple weeks ago. But now we're down at 32 on the GDXJ. So do you think this is a capitulation move where it's going to just keep settling off and then bounce around and base for a while, not going to be a V-shaped recovery? Or do you think that it's getting a bit oversold here?
You can get little bounces, Shad, I think, as we move down. And by the way, GDXJ broke out, too, is going to have a closing week below anything we've seen in weeks. And you're going to get bounced back. But the path of least resistance now is definitely lower. It's interesting that on your some of your momentum indicators, or you look at RSI, it's already hitting the 30% line. And I think actually it's going to break below that, and we're going to be oversold for some time. And then I think once we bottom, and I've been saying this right along, I don't look for a V-shaped recovery because I think the conventional markets are in deep trouble too. And I don't think anything is going to help any of these markets for some time. I think we're going to, as we move into summer and the fall, we're going to be a lot lower. And it's going to be carnage across a lot of markets. And I said that in December of last year when everybody was so bullish that 2022, in my view, was going to be a very difficult year for all asset classes. And I think we're starting to experience that.
Yeah, it is even noteworthy to look at where the S&P is right now, pretty much giving up all those gains from 2021, which was a pretty easy year for investors, and it took 6 months to give up all those gains that it took 12 months to build on. Doc, what about silver stocks? Let's start with silver stocks. SIL, that is also breaking down in a fashion kind of like GDXJ to a greater degree, more so than GDX. Silver stocks are getting beat up as well. Any relief in sight for silver, or is silver at risk of even further underperforming this bear market?
Yeah, I think silver is going to be much more difficult than gold. At least with gold, you have it as a store of value and the prospect of inflation out there. Whereas, of course, we all know silver has that industrial component. I think it's going to get hit just as hard as gold, or maybe worse, because I think the CRB is starting to top out here, too. And we've seen copper break. I think we're going to see other areas break. We've seen uranium break. And I think what's going to happen with oil is I think oil will top the next 2 or 3 months. It won't be soon enough to save Mr. Biden and his Democratic Party. But I think we will start to see a topping, and I think we're going to start to see a break in oil later in the year. And that could be a positive, at least for these mining stocks, which are getting crushed with the inflation component, just like it's crushing the middle class right now.
Doc, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on some commentators and even some technicians have pointed out that sometimes gold is countercyclical to the rest of the commodities, maybe not so much silver, but when you look at how the commodities have almost all run to record highs, not just copper, but nickel, zinc, tin, iron. I mean, almost across the board, we've seen those kind of moves. It's interesting that silver didn't keep up, but the gold, you know, it hit an all-time high, but it really didn't ratchet as high as, say, some of these other commodities have. Is it possible that when the commodities roll over, that's actually what we would need to see to have a move, a shift over into the precious metals?
I think when we first see it, we might have some move yet lower in the precious metals. But I think the odds of them stabilizing here in a couple of months to 3 months, I think is very good. I don't see a massive sell-off in gold. I think it has to go down and test 1700. Then I'll be able to tell once we get down there what I think is going to happen at that point in time. But I'm still very constructive on gold. And the reason is, and I've said this many times, is because I'd love seeing the ADX on the monthly chart. On the monthly chart, it's meandered down very slowly, and that often means an underlying strength to a particular asset class. When you see on the long-term charts how slowly it takes to move down toward that zero midpoint on the MACD, and it's been very slow. And in fact, when you go back to 2011 and 12, when that market saw its low, I think it's going to take longer for this time around because that strength, MACD is moving so slowly laterally to down. But that's a good sign telling you there's underlying strength to this market. And if it continues doing that, I think we're still going to be in good shape from the standpoint of this gold market not breaking down to levels that scare everybody.
Well, Doc, unfortunately, I think some people are already pretty scared about the breakdown that we're seeing in especially the gold stocks. Gold still holding up there. Gold stocks, though, man, those have not finished that quarter or month well. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back, continuing to chat with Richard Postma. More on the precious metals and big picture what we're seeing in these markets.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Richard Bosma. And Doc, we're going to get to some actual levels. What our listeners want to hear from you in terms of gold. Let's start there. Where are the near-term support levels that you think gold at least has a chance of bottoming? And will that even matter for the stocks that keep on selling off?
I think we see support eventually down around 1700, and then you hope it holds a little bit for a while. And like I said, when it gets to that area, I'm going to be able to tell a lot better whether I think we're going to really have another significant leg down. But I think we're headed for that, and that we may just muck around there for a while, and we're going to see that with these stocks. These stocks are telling you that gold is going lower here finally, and they're just signaling it. And I know it's disconcerting to a lot of people, but we're going to be in this for a while. And I mentioned a long time ago that we're not going to see a turnaround from a bullish standpoint until at least 2023 at the earliest. So we're developing a trading range. And by the way, it's a lot better looking trading range than we saw in 2011 and 12, where you had a breakdown of almost, I believe it was about 45 or 46% from the top. This time, we're not even going to, we haven't seen anything below about 25%. So on a monthly basis, to compare to back then, we've held up pretty well.
Well, Doc, I know a lot of people are going to be very interested in your thoughts on the candy store. We've talked about the candy store being open as an analogy for when it's a good time to accumulate some of these really beat up mining stocks. And I'd be curious to find out, when you are nibbling, if you're expecting lower metals prices, not just in gold, but in silver, why not wait to nibble until you see a bottoming pattern? Or what is your process for accumulating these stocks on the dips?
Well, I'm still about 86% in cash. I bought a little bit, just almost as a watch list for me when I go over my portfolio. But you're going to, Shad, you're going to get some of these juniors for pennies on the dollar before this is over. We're going to see levels for some of them we have never seen. And it's going to be amazing, the prices that are going to be out there. And also, if you notice, Newmont is starting to break down. Kinross is breaking down. Finally, the big players are starting to break down. And Newmont has a ways to go. And I told you before that one of my sentinel stocks to watch is Hecla. And Hecla is in the process of breaking down. And I'll tell you right now, I would not be surprised to see Hecla move down to $2 to $3 a share.
Wow. So some more pain across the board. And unfortunately, it's been all the stocks. Even the majors haven't withstood this pullback. Doc, a lot of this hinges, or a lot of this bear market is hinging on the Fed and their willingness to continue to tighten, even in the face of softening and weak economic data. Quite frankly, inflation is still staying higher. There are a lot of people, not just precious metals bugs, that are saying, look, the Fed is going to have to switch course because the economy can't withstand that. The U.S. is going to be in a recession, yada, yada. A lot of different examples and excuses why the Fed is going to switch course. But Powell seems to be sticking to his gun, saying that they are going to keep on hiking until they get inflation under control. Do you think Powell is lying to us, or do you think that we're going to have rate hikes probably through the end of this year?
I don't think Powell is blowing smoke this time. And there were so many people that took the easy out because they looked at the past and said, oh, he'll blink at the first sign of a problem. I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think he's serious. He's going to be Volcker-esque in some ways. And he's going to cause some pain in a lot of these asset classes. And I think he realizes he doesn't have many options. He wants to get up to close to 3 to 4% on the Fed fund rate, and he's got a ways to go. If he stops before that, all heck's going to break loose in these markets, and they're going to lose all kinds of credibility. I think he has to, this time around, set an example, and I think he's going to continue to raise rates. I believe July is the next FOMC meeting, and then I think we wait until September. So July and August, if he raises rates 50 to 75 percentage points again, we've got a couple months to wait expectingly for the September meeting, and that's going to not be a particularly positive thing for these markets. But I think he's going to continue to raise in the face of a recession, which we're in already, and we're going to get a lot harder recession than people are aware of, I believe.
Well, Doc, with so many people waiting for this to play through, not just the July meeting, but the September meeting of the Fed, where they're going to potentially raise rate 75 basis points. Is there anything that has your interest in the interim, or is it just a waiting game, or are you shorting some sectors at present? What are you doing personally in your portfolio?
I'm usually not a day trader, but I every time we get a rally in the stock market, I've been shorting, and I've been doing pretty well doing that. So every time, and then I'll take my positives from it, and I get out and I wait for the next move up, and then I hit it again. So far, that's been a real positive for me. And otherwise, I'm trying to ascertain which precious metal stocks, when we do bottom, are the ones that I would really like to focus on. Because when we do have a move higher someday, I want to be involved in those stocks, because we're going to, Shad, get them at prices that are going to be just awesome. But then I don't think we'll get that V-shaped recovery. There will be enough damage where I think we'll see a bottoming pattern for a while, and then we gradually start to move up after we bottom. So we're going to be into this well into 2023.
Well, Doc, one other thing I'd like to get your thoughts on is, do you think in a recessionary environment, if we've got two negative GDP quarters in a row, that that's the kind of environment where we may see a sea change in how people invest? So far, everybody's been in the passive investing, the stock market can only go up, buy the dip mode, for about the last dozen years. But now with this kind of a shakeup, do you think, not just in the precious metal sector, but in other sectors, we're going to see people be more selective in the stocks they pick versus just passive investing, and where what areas of interest do you think are going to garner the most interest in a recessionary backdrop?
I think they are going to be more selective after this trauma because they're going to have less dollars, first of all. And I think they're going to be more selective. And we're going to get back to real earnings because I think we're entering a real earnings recession here. You wouldn't know it from by listening to Wall Street, but I think we're going to know by the third quarter that the earnings recession is upon us. And that's why a lot of these stocks are going to get hit even harder on the conventional market. And I think people, after experiencing this, forget about the algorithms a little bit. They're going to become much more selective and careful. When you get tremendous carnage, it changes behavior for a while, but then people start forgetting again. You know, you got your usual staples in a recession, you know, food and all, and the ones that we're used to, but I'm going to be looking at, I've been looking at certain biotech stocks, and I've been buying a couple of them very carefully here, and they're pretty close to being bottomed out already. They were one of the first that got hit really hard, and I'm going to broaden my portfolio. I'm not going to go all in on the precious metals like I have in the past. So I'm going to look at some of the tech stocks, and that's where I'm going to focus. And I'm going to try to stay with some solid companies as we go forward. But to close the month like we're doing and closing at lows that we haven't seen is not healthy going into July. So just don't be buying these dips because it's going to be a long time before you should be ready to start purchasing some of these stocks.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Doc, I have to say, man, month after month, we seem to talk to you, and it seems to be pretty bearish, but it's been the correct call. This whole year has been bearish for really every sector, except for energy, but we're even seeing energy end this month and quarter on the back foot. So overall, again, just a tough market, a bearish market overall, and sounds like this month that we're in now, July, is going to be tough again. Sure wish we had better news for everybody, but Doc, I do appreciate your honesty and how accurate you have been. Everybody, thank you for tuning into this weekend show. Looking forward to the rest of summer. Hopefully you all got out or get out to have a nice long weekend. Take your mind off these markets and be sure to join us early in the week as Shad and I will be back. Still trying to keep everybody as updated as we can on these markets. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Doc, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear.
Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Let's see. This is Linwood. I don't